There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks automotive.
We are talking automotive and we're having texts into the program already about cash or trash. It's going to be one of those Thursdays, I think. Our guest in the studio today, a warm welcome to Matthew Davidson, Head of Motor Services at Dubizzle. Matthew, good to have you in the studio.
Great to be back. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So we're thinking usually during Ramadan, you might not be as busy as usual, but you walked into the studio today and you said it's been mad.
Disheveled. Very busy. Very busy. We're very busy. We've noticed that this year, the RTA, we're based obviously out of Tazjil, and it's really packed in the day and in the evening. Short hours, obviously, 9 till 3 and then back 8 p.m. until 2 a.m., but it's very busy this year.
I think traditionally a lot of people think it's maybe not the best time to sell my car. There's maybe not as many people looking online. Maybe there's not as many people in the marketplace coming up to summer. People are going home. But if you do want to sell your car during Ramadan, can you give us a bit of a rundown, some advice for people who are listening? We will get to your cash or trash texts, I promise. We'll do lots of that. But first of all, if you want to sell your car during Ramadan, what do you need to be thinking about?
So we've got a double hit this year because Ramadan is falling in May. And May and June traditionally are big car selling months because people are selling their cars ahead of leaving in the summer, whether they're going away on vacation or it's a permanent exit from the UAE. So we noticed in April there was a drop off and we sensed that people were holding out for Ramadan because of obviously the new car deals. But there was a general drop off in April and now we've come into a big period. But now you're in amongst so many people selling your car. So how do you make your car stand out? I think the biggest advice I can give to anyone, and people really should follow this, is just pretend you're buying your own car. So look at it objectively and stand back, and the things that you don't like about it are most likely going to be the things that a potential buyer won't like. So if you notice the tires are worn, there's quite bad scratches, it's dirty inside, do something about it. Go and get the car detailed. People always say, Matthew, should I change the tires? If they're worn, maybe I'll just discount the car. What you're doing is you're putting the power into the buyer's hands. So believe me, whatever those tires cost, and you should shop around and get several quotes, by the way. Don't always take the first price you get. But if whatever those tires cost, believe me, it'll be less than you'll get knocked down on the price of the car.
See, that's an important point to make, I think. If you, there is another side to that as well. If you change the tyres and detail the car, get rid of the scratches, you might turn around and think, oh, this actually looks quite nice. But if that does happen, you've got something there to sell. And if you've spent a little bit of money on your car, then that comes back to you in terms of not just you should get slightly more for the value of it, it should be worth a little bit more, but you feel as though there's more value in it. It kind of brings it home, doesn't it?
I think when you spend money on a car, don't look to try and get even more back. What you've got to consider, let's say a Ford Explorer 2014, there may be 30 other cars on the market. So if yours is the one that's shining like new, completely clean, when people come out to see it, they may have seen two or three other cars. And yours will be the standout, even if it's a few thousand dirhams more.
Yeah.
Yours will be the standout car. And when they discuss it to make that purchase decision, I'm sure they'll choose yours.
I'm just thinking there, Anna, but it's about if you think your car's worth something and you've detailed it, you've spent time on it, hold your line as well. Stick to your guns because you feel like it's worth something. Because everybody's after a deal. As soon as you put something online, people come in and offer you. In my experience, whatever you put online, people always come in low. But hold your line. There's value there.
Look, my whole life, 27 years I've done this, been in between thousands and thousands of car sales, and the biggest thing I ever see is weakness from the seller. So somebody comes along, you've agreed to put the car on for 59,000, say you're happy at 55, but they say, no, Matthew, I want to give you 50. Most people just get a bit paranoid and back down and think, they obviously want your car because they're making an offer, and certainly if they've found nothing wrong with the car, they're not in a very strong position. You should be very brave and hold your line. You should say, look, it's 55. If you don't like it, I'm sure somebody else will be along soon that will take it. And you'll be surprised how many times people turn around and just say, okay, let's have a deal. But you have to be strong at every step of the way, whether it's just before you do the transfer, whatever stage you're at with the car selling process, have it in your mind that that's the price and stick to it. And don't be afraid if people are going to walk away, because most likely they were going to anyway.
And just very briefly, we're going to go to the phone lines and the text in a minute for cash or trash. But just on that note, how should you decide on a price?
So, look, there's lots of popular websites out there, such as The Bizzle, where you can go on and they've got great tools, advanced tools, where you can say Ford Explorer 2014, 60,000 kilometres, and have a look what similar cars are selling for. So if the range is between 75 and 85, you know, you can go somewhere around that. If your car is particularly nice, maybe you want to be more towards the 85,000 mark, but if it's somewhere in the middle, pitch it at 80. But that's the best way, because it's not what you think it's worth, it's what the market dictates that car's worth.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about giveaway price, I'm on about what like for like cars are selling for.
Okay, we're going to stay with price point now and get to my favorite part of the week.
Cash or trash?
So are you ready, Matthew, for cash or trash?
I'm always ready for cash or trash.
Okay, I think we've got Sultan on the line. Sultan, what is your car?
I have a hardtop convertible. It's a Mercedes-Benz SLK 200. It's a 2013 model year car. It's done about 65,000 kilometers. What should I expect for a car like this?
Did you say it's a 200, SLK 200?
Yes, it's an SLK 200. That means it's a 1.8 in terms of engine capacity.
And Gargash service history, or have you been outside of the agency?
No, I have a Gargash service history. It's just out of warranty, though. It's no longer in warranty.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You're at that sweet point where it's actually a good time to sell your car, because it's at that five-year point. It's out of a warranty now. So you are 100%. In the right mark for selling your car. In terms of price, you want to be pitching that car initially out on the market around maybe 100,000, 105,000.
Is that all right? Okay.
How does that sound, Sultan?
That sounds way above the expectation I had for a car like mine. But then I was listening in on to the radio show a few minutes ago, and I could see that, you know, you also need to expect a fair price rather than give in to pressures from the buyer.
Okay. Yeah,
I'll take a mix of both, yeah.
Yeah, you're always going to have a top and bottom price. If you want to maybe trade it in or cash that car in, you may be looking a good 20,000 below that. But, you know, we're trying to hopefully get you the highest market value here.
Right. No, I'm determined and I want to sell it myself. So I think I'll try and price it around some of your advice and let's see where it goes.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Matthew.
Thank you.
Good luck, Sultan.
Do you know, that's an interesting thing there, because you've kind of exceeded expectations there. And I guess we all get to a level where we think, well, will I be able to achieve that? If you work and you're ready to spend the time selling your car, and as you were saying just now, Matthew, hold your line, then there's every expectation that you could.
Let's talk about that car. I mean, 12,000 kilometres a year on average, which is under what the UAE average is.
Mm.
Full Gargash history. I'm presuming no accidents or problems.
Mm.
So what he can do is test the market. The market will soon speak to him. I mean, he can at least run 10 days, 2 weeks and see what the market says.
Yeah.
And if he gets an offer even close to that, then he can make a decision whether to sell or not.
Great. So one happy customer in Sultan to kick cash or trash off today. We will continue with cash or trash. If you have a Porsche Cayenne, if you have a Lexus GS350, a Kia Sportage, a Nissan Patrol Safari, we will be coming to you, or a Range Rover, next.
Drive Live. Have your say.
Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai iMessenger app.
This is Drive Live.
In association with King's College Hospital London in Dubai, the enduring art of care.
Did you know that at Legoland Dubai, you can go on a submarine adventure with sharks, stingrays and thousands of colourful fish?
With over 40 Lego-themed rides, shows and attractions, Legoland Dubai is the perfect family day out. GCC residents, get your tickets for only 165 dirhams at legoland.ae.
On the occasion of Ramadan, Al-Futtaim Group Real Estate is giving amazing offers on the residential properties for both sales and lease in Dubai Festival City. Rediscover life in the city. Call us now to know more, 800-332, or visit dubaifestivalcity.com.
Widely regarded as one of the most brilliant songwriters of her generation, Suzanne Vega comes to Dubai Opera on July 5th for an intimate one-off performance.
I live on the second floor. With over 7 million albums sold, her hit song Luca earned the pop folk star 3 Grammy nominations, including Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best Female Pop Vocal Performance. Book now at DubaiOpera.com.
Sharjah Charity International supports people who can't afford hospital costs by paying for treatment and surgery expenses. It's just one part of their charitable activities that are executed all year round. They also provide family support by paying rent and electricity bills, and they pay the debts of prisoners jailed for non-payment of financial dues to bring them back to their families. In 2017, Sharjah Charity International gave over 9 million dirhams in support to 1,700 students and over 10.6 million dirhams in support to those who are ill. Sharjah Charity has given 10,365,000 in cash to help bring happiness and relief to those in need. Sharjah Charity International, your guide to goodness. Visit shjc.sharjah.ae.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
It's 20 past four. You're listening to Drive Live with Tim Elliott and Natalie Lindo-Taylor. Tim is laughing at me because he's mocking my old car.
No.
And that's very mean.
I don't know enough about cars, so I'm just repeating hearsay. NLT.
Drive Live talks automotive.
That's a universal symbol for you to stop talking.
Yeah, I know, but I just went
for
it.
Shut up. We're joined in the studio today by Matthew Davidson, who's the head of motoring at Dubizzle. He's here. He's given us plenty of advice on how to sell your car at Ramadan. But I guess our focus now turns to if you want to sell your car, what is it worth? And our cute way of saying that, I guess, is cash or trash. We're not suggesting for any second that you need to throw a car away, because that's a very bad idea. But you get the spirit of the game.
Cash or trash?
Okay, Tim, do you want to kick off with the first car that you can see?
Matthew, here you go. I think this is a friend of mine, actually, so I can vouch for the car, but I'm wondering about this. Nissan Patrol Safari, short wheelbase, 2002, one lady owner from New. I know that's true if this is Mandy. 226,000 kilometres, new tyres, amazing condition, manual. Couldn't get an automatic then. So people are going to fight for that, aren't they?
They really are. We talk about these special cars that break the mold. You know, we've always talked about 200,000 kilometres as being the kilometre value that scares people away. But there's exceptions, stuff like the Pajero, also the really, really great Japanese cars. But the Nissan Patrol Safari and the Super Safari, those two cars, have such a great following, particularly from local Emiratis here. That car, you could put it on for as much as 35,000-40,000, and you will get interest. You'll get knocked down a little bit, but that's where I would start with that car, because you just can't get them anymore.
Yeah,
that's its 16-year-old car now, but it's really classic when you see it. I always love following the old shape Super Safaris, and you always have the fuel can on the back, and they just look classic here. And as they're disappearing, they're going to get more and more desirable. So try it at that price point and then see where you go from there. But that certainly breaks the mold, that vehicle.
It's pretty decent for a 16-year-old car.
Yeah, you'll be surprised. Kind of I remember there was a Emirates pilot that had a 15-year-old Super Safari about 4 or 5 years ago. And it went online, and within minutes there was people fighting for this car, because he was a one owner from New. And this is the same. Just bear in mind, the really baked in value is the one owner from New.
Yes.
That's amazing. Really amazing.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones next. Fawad is with us. Fawad, thanks for calling. Give us the details.
Hi, NLT. This is Fawad. It's a pleasure talking to you. And Tim, it's the first time I've ever called in your program.
Thanks for calling.
I really listen to you guys like every time your show is on. So coming to the question. I have a Kia Optima. It's a 2014 model. It has 51,000 kilometers on it. A first-hand drive. I have it with me. I'm the first owner. So what value do I expect? What price do I put on the car if I sell it? It's an agency-maintained car.
Sure. Good to hear from you. Are you still under a warranty with this car?
Yes, I am.
So I think you'll be around 45,000-50,000 for this car.
Okay.
Pretty great, decent for when. Does that make you happy? Does that exceed expectations?
Yeah, it's a bit exceeding expectation because I learned from Divisal and some other sites, and even from my insurance, they valued the car at a bit lower price, but 45-50 sounds good.
Yeah, this is where you need to start. Particularly at the moment, it sounds like a great car. It's got the warranty, fully maintained. You're the first owner from you. You know, fight your corner initially, and then you can always go down a little bit. Pricing it too low, you've got nowhere to go.
Okay.
All right. Fawad, lovely to talk to you. Appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
Drive safe.
Bye-bye. Take care. Thank you.
So next up, we can have a look at this one. One of the first ones to come in from Robert. BMW 530i 2008 with 235 kilometres.
This is where the news turns sour.
Oh, dear. Brace yourself, Robert.
Yeah, this is a 10-year-old BMW 530. They get so expensive when they get to 10 years old. And when they've got this many kilometers, and most people buying them, even if the cars are very, very cheap, know that they're about to get hit with quite a lot of expenses in the near future. Even if it's in relatively good shape, I think you'll be pushing 15,000.
Okay.
Mm. All right, then. Here's another one for you. I want to know the value of a 2015 Nissan Juke, 104,000 kilometers. 104 in what? I get three years for that.
So the Duke's popular little car.
Popular shape. People like its quirkiness, don't they?
The airline crews like this car. Okay. See a lot of crew buying this car. You're looking around 35 for this car, 35,000.
35,000 dirham. Mm. Okay. No name on this one. 2009 Porsche Cayenne. It's the S model. 160,000 kilometres. That's all the details we have.
Last of the very old generation. So, unfortunately, we've talked about this before. And those kilometres are quite high. Again, this car's going to be expensive to run and maintain. If you get 30,000 for that car, it will be good. You may push for 35, but yeah, that's where they're at the moment.
All right. What would my car go for? 2016 Range Rover Evoque, 43,000 kilometres. Still under warranty. March 2020, that runs out. No accidents. Few dents on the body from car doors. Who hasn't got those, I suppose? A little scrape on the plastic wheel arch that is easily repaired. So I'm assuming you're willing to do that to the car, get rid of the dings and the dents. What do you reckon, Matthew?
2016 with 43. Mm. Get those dings and dents done, because that's going to be a difference between you getting much more money for the car, but you're in that circling around that 90 to 100 mark.
Really?
Mm.
I'm quite surprised at that. I thought those cars were quite a bit more expensive.
Not the Evoques. If you're going more into the Range Rover Sports, etc., for sure, but the Evoques, they're not changing hands for big money, because a lot of people now are shifting out, because since the Velour is come onto the market and the new shape Range Rovers, the value of the older Range Rovers now has really dropped, and that's affecting the residual values of stuff like the Evoque. So they're not going for big money now.
Okay. We have Warda on the line. What car do you have?
I have a Kia Rio, full option, 2015 model. The only problem is that it's ran 267,000 kilometers.
Wow.
267,000 kilometers? What? Where do you drive to?
2015.
You working in Riyadh or something?
Oh, no. So my dad originally got this car for Dubai to Abu Dhabi travel.
Right. Okay. So nippy little car, though. Have you enjoyed it? I bet you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it still works great. I still take it to work every day from Edgemont to Business Space.
Okay. Matthew, what do you think?
Well, with normal kilometres on, the Rio's cute little car, but, I mean, it would be only around 25. So in terms of those sort of kilometres, you can slice 10 off that at least. So maybe 12 to 15.
Okay. What do you think about that, Warda?
Well, I could get a few bags of that.
Water, that's the best thing I've heard today.
So,
give me a few handbags.
Two, three, maybe four designer handbags and no Kia Rio anymore. I like that. That makes a lot of sense. Well, at least you accessorize well.
Always shopping.
Water, it's like a gift from your father that's kept on giving. Yeah. Enjoy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's one way to look at it. I mean, you know, a good handbag's an investment, NLT. I know that.
Yeah, I taught you that, didn't
you
I?
You did, yeah. Thanks.
Cash or trash?
So very, very popular. Our guest today, adjudicating, I suppose, might be a fair word. Matthew Davidson is the head of motor services at Dubizzle. And there's just so many texts for you. We're struggling to keep up with them.
It's unbelievable how many messages are coming in.
I know. So we'll get straight on with it. A 2014 Lexus GS350F Sport Package. In warranty, Lexus serviced, 35,000 kilometres, black exterior, that ever popular red interior, expat driven, thanks for the info, garage kept. So kept indoors, I guess, or kept inside a garage.
Tried at 75.
75, yeah. Okay. Let us know if you're happy with that. We always like to hear back as well, because we've given advice to some people. They text back and say, oh, I did get what you expected, or I got a little bit more or a little bit less. It's nice to hear. Another Kia, very popular cars they seem to be today. Hello, guys. I have a Kia Sportage 2016 mid-range, 96,500 kilometres. Bought it late 2015. How much is it worth? And would it be worth a trade-in possibly too?
No, sell that car because they sell really, really well. So no need to trade it in and get less value for it. Just put it on the market around 50,000 dirhams.
It's a nice shape as well, isn't it? The Sportage.
People
like the
really love the Sportage. And the Korean brands, Kia and Hyundai, 10 years ago, everyone laughed at them. But now they're knocking out some really great cars. Really good cars.
And a lot of them have quite good options as the sort of basic models. You know, some of the sort of tech in them is quite good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right. Range Rover Sport 2015, six-cylinder, supercharged, seven seats. Not bad mileage-wise, 32,000 kilometres. What's it worth? No name.
Knocking on the door, 200,000.
200,000? Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's supercharged.
Okay. Supercharged. I don't even know what that means. Omar has texted in and says, this is not cash or trash, but we welcome it. I have a budget for two cars, but which one should I buy? I'm not familiar with these, so forgive the pronunciation. So a Toyota Previa 2017 or a Toyota Innova 2017. What would your advice be, Matthew?
Previa will have the best resale value, and I would probably say you'd enjoy that car a lot more. So
what's the main difference? I'm not familiar with those cars.
The Previa is more of a mid-size SUV.
Okay.
So that is the more desirable one.
Okay, we keep going up the list. I think Gary's curious. It doesn't have to be that you're selling your car, by the way, although every now and again, somebody, do you remember when, who was it came on and said, I've got a Ferrari F430, and we had two people in the studio, and they almost came to blows over buying it. Mandy, Matthew wants to buy your Nissan Safari Patrol. I'm joking.
Along with half of the UAE.
Exactly. Gary's curious, though, just after a price here. FJ Cruiser, 2015, VXR spec, 51K. Full history service at Toyota.
They're so popular at the moment, they don't make them anymore. VXR is the top spec. So this will still fetch 90 to 100.
90 to 100, that's decent. Okay.
Yeah, nice to hear.
There's only one above that, which is the Extreme, which was a partnership with Arctic Trucks that AlphaTain did. But you know, VXR is generally regarded as the one that everyone's hunting for.
There are extremes this year, aren't there? I know the FJ's not being made. I mean, I've got one from 3 years ago that I'm going to keep for a while. But you can still buy a new Extreme, can you?
Yeah, the Extreme is just the partnership between Arctic Trucks and AlphaTain. But the FJ's, they are... A good one goes online, it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones now. Mohammed, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
So, Mohammed, you have an Audi. Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, so I have an Audi 2015. It's an A7 model 35 FSI. It's running at 49K, first owner, full service history with El Nabuda, and it's still under maintenance expiring end of this year. No accidents, dent-free, very minor scratches, you could say.
Did you? Sorry, which model is it?
It's an Audi A7.
Oh, the A7. Okay.
Yeah.
2015 average kilometers.
49,000. Yeah.
And the warranty is expiring this year.
End of this year. Yeah.
Yeah. So still having warranty remaining is going to make it much, much more attractive. I would probably put that car on the market for around 95 and see what kind of response you get.
Okay.
How does that sound, Mohammed?
A lot less than I expected.
Yeah, there's a lot of these cars on the market at the moment. You can, again, try the car a little bit higher, but this is one of those ones where if you go onto the market and look, there's a lot of them around at the moment, and it's hitting. Maybe worthwhile if you're not looking to sell right now, leave it till after the summer, where you'll probably find you'll get a higher value.
All right.
Thanks, Mohammed.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
It's an interesting point there. Alistair texted in a little while ago and said, why do people pay a premium for European cars? I'm not suggesting Mohammed did, but Alistair says, in particular, German cars. They certainly have great brands, Mercedes, BMW, etc. Alistair's saying they're far behind in reliability terms compared to Japanese cars. Is that fair?
Very fair. Yeah, I mean, people obviously gravitate towards the German brands.
Sure. Mm.
For the luxury aspect, particularly in the status, but everybody knows here that the Japanese cars are bulletproof. Toyota, Nissans, Hondas.
Yeah.
So yeah, Alistair is on the money.
Okay, we're going to stay with Alistair, actually. Mm. 2009 Mercedes S500, 130,000 kilometres, white, full options, AMG body kit. Half the services were with Gargash. It's in a great condition, much better than the condition of most cars of the same age. He's asking, is it worth anything?
Probably around 50,000.
Oh, you could buy more than a few handbags with 50,000.
You have to do pretty well at that.
Yeah. Remember, this is a car that's seven times that new. Nearly eight times that new, actually.
Wow.
So it's a lot. You know, the S-Class always leads the way. Whenever Mercedes launch a new S-Class, it's always leading the way in terms of technology, luxury, everything. So, you know, people that want a little bit of luxury in their life but cannot stretch the 400,000 dirham mark, you can pick up a lot of luxury, but you have to be warned that you will also be picking up maintenance when it gets that old as well.
Yeah, parts, services, that kind of thing are running much higher, I guess.
Here's an interesting one. I like this. I recently got a Land Cruiser Prado 98, so 20-year-old car. Changed the drive shaft, upgraded the gearbox and the engine. Took it because I love a manual Jeep feel. It's a vintage that this person loves. Does it have any value? This is Mustafa asking.
Yeah, for sure it has value. We were talking about the older Pajeros a couple of weeks ago, how the farmers come down from Ras Al Khaimah, etc., to buy them. You know, when you get down at this level, it's a Prado. Upgrading the engine and gearbox just means that you're looking after the car. A manual is very preferable, especially if you're going a little bit off-road. But you could still probably fetch 15 to 20 for that car. Because people, once you get down to that kind of level, as long as that car is stable, running, people will want that. There's a market for those cars.
And I guess the person that would want a car like that understands the value of the things that you've done to the car and has an appreciation for that and perhaps is willing to pay for it.
Yeah, and I will stress that you might have to wait for the right person, but when they know, believe me.
Yeah. Okay, we've got lots to get through. Hi, I've got a 2014 BMW 428i convertible, 52,000 kilometres on the clock. The transmission changed under warranty, but the warranty has now expired. AGMC serviced, not sure whether to sell or to keep it. What would be its value out of interest?
One of the most difficult cars at the moment to sell. So many 4 Series on the market. You can go on now and have a look. There's 2017s. Selling for 170, 180. I'm talking about the convertibles. So they're the ones that are hurting you at the moment. I would say you're back around that 110, 115 mark.
What can I expect for a Range Rover 2007, 165,000 kilometres? Or are we going to get Leroy on the phone?
Leroy should be on the phone now.
Good
he can
hear.
Give us the details. Leroy, tell us about the Range Rover.
Hey, NLT. Hey, Tim. Hey.
Nice to talk to you, Leroy. Sorry, I jumped the gun there. I was almost going to list the specs of your car. I'll let you do it.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, before I get into that, I accidentally called the Virgin radio station before this, and I Brent Black answered, and I told him what I'm calling for. And I spoke to him for a good 5 minutes while he tried to find a valuation for my car.
Did he offer you a good price, though? That's the big
question. Well, he did fairly well, I must say. He took about 5 minutes of my time on the phone, but he did offer me a good price, I must say. I'm going to see if you guys can beat that.
I can't believe he didn't come in and tell us. He's only next door.
he did say that. I can see the guys next door, but you know, I can do a better job, he said. That's what he said to me.
Brilliant, Leroy.
He might have made a good point. He's a nice man, that Brent Black. So list the specs of the car, Leroy.
Right, it's a 2007 Range Rover Sport HSE. It's obviously was maintained by the agents for the first 3 years, and then I got an extended agency maintenance contract for the next 3 years. It's not been agency maintained thereafter. Of course, I've been maintaining it outside and getting the oil and filter changes outside. I have availed of the Range Rover periodic maintenance that they come up with every now and then, where they offer you a free oil change. So, yeah, most of it has been done at the Range Rover service center. Okay. I've had new brake pads and new suspension system fitted just last month. It's been taken care of in that respect.
I was going to say, it sounds like you love the car.
We know where the 5 minutes went now.
Yeah,
but I do love the car. Don't think it's my wife. She drives another car, and she has a Lexus. So she drove the Lexus for a while, but then she uses the Metro very often. So that just parked in the basement now. So we've got two cars now. So yeah, we've just got to sell one of them.
Okay. Wow. We'll try and get you a price for this then, Leroy. What so
we got to do better than Brent Black. Remember that.
Well, we'll give you the truth, that's for sure. In terms of, we were looking at these cars this afternoon, actually, but the one a year younger, 2008, with similar kilometres, and we were pricing them around 30 to 35,000. So yours being 1 year, 30,000 is going to be around the mark for that car.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much. You did much better than Brent Black.
So we won.
Yeah, absolutely. He offered me $25,000 for the car. I'm not going to call him back anymore.
Yeah, you see, Leroy, Brent Black never puts his hand in his pocket.
Not all robbers wear masks, you know that.
Yeah. I think that's a small victory for Dubai Eye. So, Leroy, thank you so much and best of luck with the
Thank
Range
you so much,
Rover.
Guys. Keep up the good work, eh?
Cheers. Thanks, Leroy.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, RAV4, 2008 model, single owner, 150,000 kilometres. Lloyd says, well-maintained.
You know when you hear people say that it's a single owner car, it doesn't massively increase the value, but it massively increases your chances of selling the car. Because, you know, you think about here in the UAE, the transients of the UAE, somebody to keep a car for 10 years from brand new. That RAV4... the kilometres actually for a 10-year-old car are not too bad. And there's certainly a market for that. And that market would be between probably 22,000 to 24,000.
Okay. We are going to go along with Raj's text. 2013, Pathfinder, top-end service contract with agency, 170 kilometres on the clock.
2013?
No, 107,000.
107,000. Yeah. 2013, yeah.
Okay, Pathfinder 2013 with 107, top end model with agency, 40,000.
Okay, here you go. Ford Focus ST. Fun car, sporty. Last week somebody asked about this. I can't get in the seats of these, but that's a different issue. 65,000 kilometres, 2014. What are you saying, lads? You're being included in that, NLT.
I know, I don't mind that.
As a lad, so that's what you are. But
being
what
a lad today.
Matthew?
It's a manual only car, so you're immediately slicing down a huge chunk of the market that can't drive manual cars. Europeans, we love the ST. We grew up with these type of hot hatches. Yep. Kilometers are about average, but you can get much newer ones for 55, 60. So I would imagine that would go for around 40,000.
Okay.
There you go.
Our guest today in studio is Matthew Davidson, who's the head of motor services at Dubizzle. And Matthew, we're talking about these months being very popular in terms of selling. And lots of people listening to this want to get the valuation of their car. They want to know what it's worth. But the other question they're having is, okay, it sounds like a great time to sell, but, you know, I've had my car on sale for a while. It's not shifting. What maybe are people doing wrong, or what problems are they facing?
So when we look at the reasons people aren't selling cars, the first thing you can do is look at your shop window, which is the photos. And people make so many mistakes in this area. They'll take them in the dark, in a basement, they're not clear. Websites such as Tabiz will give you 10 photos. That's a lot of photos. Mm. You need to be taking them in the sunshine so it's nice and bright and clear from the front, the back, the sides. If you've got nice wheels, take a shot of the wheel. If you've got navigation and a reversing camera, hey, take a couple of shots of them. Use a collage if you have to. But really get those pictures as good, and of course wash and clean the car ahead of photography. But these, you'd think this would be obvious, but so many people don't do this. The next thing is, the reason people don't sell the car is availability. They're not just available to answer the phone because they're working. They're not available to return the messages. And they get a lot of calls coming in where people, they're really hounding them, offering them silly prices. So they end up ignoring calls, which might be the one where someone quite serious.
You just need one genuine buyer.
You do. It only takes one serious person. I mean, we've proved that over the years. I mean, with our verified cars on Tabizl, one in three viewers buy the car. One in three.
Yeah.
That's the stats, pure across all cars, by the way. So great photos, very clear inside and out. Make sure that you, in your advert, set a time that you're available. Don't be afraid to do that. Hey, I'm available from 6 p.m. to 9 o'clock to take calls and texts. Mm. That is going to help you massively so you don't miss. And the people that are serious about your car, they'll note that down and they will call you within that window. And the last reason people struggle to sell is obviously price.
Yeah.
You know, they're a way. You don't have to be the cheapest on the market, but if you're the most expensive, for sure, you're going to get lost.
Okay, so I guess people need to maybe look at it in the way they would selling a house. You know, you wouldn't present your house a mess. You would make sure the pictures were nice and it told the true story. You want people to imagine themselves in the car. Mm. Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines now. Mohammed is on line three and he has a popular vehicle. I believe you have a Porsche. Do you want to tell us a bit more about it, Mohammed?
Yeah, I do. Good afternoon, everyone. I've got a Porsche Cayenne GTS.
Right.
It's a 2016 model. It's got around 25,000 kilometers on the clock. When I purchased it, actually it came with a 4 years warranty and a 4 years service package with the vehicle as well. The car's in actually pristine condition. Obviously, I've had it since new. Just wanted to sort of see what the second-hand market was looking like nowadays, considering obviously the situation.
Yeah, so you know there's various different variants. You've got the Cayenne, the Cayenne S, the GTS, the Turbo and the Turbo S. So in terms of GTS, a lot of people that know the car, that's a given, but a lot of people don't know the differences between these cars. A 2016, now we've got the newer shape, Porsche Cayenne out, has been affected. And the GTSs as well. I mean, Porsche in 2015 Nabuda did some quite good deals on these cars, and now people are starting to come out of those. So I think you want to be looking at around 200 to 210 for that car.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was always told that, you know, if you're going to buy a car, the GTS is one of the vehicles that tends to hold more value than the other models, I guess the valuation that you've given me is probably a bit lower than what I was anticipating.
But that's taken into consideration. What you're right about the GTS, for sure, because that's what I said. The people that know it know it. So there's no question there. But in terms of, there's a lot on the market. Go and have a quick look. 2016 Cayenne. Scroll down through Tabizl and you'll see. You'll see there's a lot of them on the market. And people now, they have auto loans on this. So their expectation of what they're worth is because of the remaining auto loan, but we're noticing that actually is one of the cars that's been affected by the amount of inventory that was put on the market in 2015 and 16.
Okay, and the service package that is still available on the vehicle, does that not also bring some value?
It does. You could try pricing it a little bit higher due to that, but make that a real selling feature. Put it in the headline and the description, because these are what we talked about earlier, the things that will make your car stand out against the competition. So a warranty plus service contract is going to differentiate it from the other 2016 GTSs on the market.
Okay.
Thanks, Mohammed.
Some decent pictures as well, I guess.
For sure. That's a lovely car. So, yeah, give it, make it.
What colour is it, Mohammed?
It's white with red leather interior.
Oh, that's going to go. It's going to sell. What are you going to do? Mohammed, nice to talk to you. All the best.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Cash or trash?
We do have Matthew Davidson with us. He is head of motor services at Dubizzle, and we're going to try and get through as many of these as possible. We will kick things off. I will start all the way back down here. A Honda Accord 2.4, 2013, mid-range options, 115,000 kilometres, agency maintained and under warranty, Asif says.
Under warranty, over 100,000 kilometres. It must be a paid for extended warranty. 2013?
Yep. Yes.
You're looking around 45.
Okay. I don't know what car this is, Tim. You might be able to help me. C250?
It's Mercedes, isn't it?
Mercedes. Mm, yeah. 47,000 kilometres. Gargash serviced. Red two-door. How much can I sell it for? 2014 model. Single lady owner. Two-year warranty remaining and panel service. No accidents and one little bit of paintwork done.
C250, about 90 to 95.
Okay, BMW X5, 5 litre, 2012, registered 2014, 5 year warranty from 2014, 55,000 kilometres, so warranty until next year. Very good nick, or it's good nick is the name, who knows?
So it's a 2012, but they took warranty from 2014.
Warranty
for
from
years.
2014, registered in 2014. Yeah.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah, because I was wondering how they achieved magic. Yeah, the warranty is certainly going to make it stand out against every other 2012 because they won't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, this must have been some stock that was lying around and then registered into 2012. But the 5 litre now, they don't make. So
could be something special.
Yeah, to the right buyer, this is going to obviously be attractive for so many different reasons. But it's still ultimately in model years a six-year-old car. But we obviously need to take into consideration it was registered in 2014. So I think you could still be knocking on the door of 90, 85, 90. Because that warranty is worth so much to be able to drive a car like that hassle-free.
Stress-free.
That makes it, that's very valuable.
This is an interesting one. Marine's texted in and said, what would my car go for? 2015, 60,000 kilometres, Kia Cerato 1.6. Followed up with, only a female driver. Does that make a difference?
Well, it's kind of been tarnished because everybody just jumped on the bandwagon many years ago of thinking female driver actually really, really, it doesn't make a difference, no. In terms of this car, maybe you'll get now around 30,000 for that car.
Okay. Mm. Nissan Tilda hatchback 2014, 130,000 kilometres, no warranty, serviced at Nissan, no dings or accidents.
It's a Tida. So many people love the Tida.
Your nose wrinkled then. You're not a fan of the Tida?
No, I am. It's just there's so many of them. They're so popular.
Does that make it hard to sell, or is it just mean they're popular?
Popular cars don't necessarily equal hard to sell because they're popular for a reason. You know, look how many Pajeros are on the roads, and everybody's chasing them all the time. But that Tida 2014 will still probably fetch 25 to 30,000.
I just want to follow that up because Max texted in with the same car, Nissan Tida, mid-range 2016 model, bought September 2015. So essentially, Nissan maintained 80,000 kilometres, still under warranty. What kind of price range? What's the difference there?
The kilometres are obviously a bit higher for the year, and we need to take that in consideration. But I would say maybe 40,000 for that car.
Okay.
Factoring the kilometres in.
There you go, Mac. No name on this one. Lexus IS300. Does that sound right? 2012, 162 kilometres.
2012?
Yes.
You're looking around 45,000, 50,000.
Okay, here's somebody seeking some advice from you. I'm looking to buy a used 7-seater SUV. Popular. CX-9, Explorer, Discovery are options. I want to spend about $150,000. What's the best value for money? Any other cars you might recommend I'd look at?
I presume we're talking about new car.
No, used. I'm looking to buy a used 7-seater SUV.
Well, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, yeah.
You know, you open up a lot of choices. I mean, even the top of the range CX-9 will cost you around $155,000 new. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could get yourself a brand new top of the range CX-9 for that kind of money. Even the highest platinum Pajeros, you're still down at 125. So you supercharge yourself into the next level. So you can certainly get into that LR4 money, Land Rover LR4, which is a fantastic way to move your family around, 7 seats. Mm. And you'll find one under warranty and everything for that kind of budget. Explorer. You can buy a brand new Explorer for that money as well. I would probably go down the route of if you need to just quickly analyze what you want, whether you want a bit more luxury, then you can go for a used LR4. And you're into patrols, Nissan patrols, which will carry 7 or 8 passengers, Toyota Land Cruisers. You're all in that field. But if you want a little bit of luxury, go down the Land Rover. If you can find a 7-seater BMW X5, that's also an option for you as well.
You get a pretty decent, reasonably new Prado for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Available.
Prado, yes. You're going to get virtually new as well.
Yeah.
So that's a huge opportunity to dive into many different cars, but you're not going to go very wrong with that. You'll always be better buying a year-old, 18-month. That's where you're going to get real value. Obviously, when you buy new, you're paying for new.
Yeah.
So, you know, just have a look what you can do within those choices around a year, 18 months old.
Okay, hi, them's text in. I have a 2010 VW Touareg with less than 80,000 kilometres. Is it worth anything?
It's very low kilometres for an 8-year-old Touareg. It depends which variant it is. It might be SE, SEL. It could even be the highest spec sport. But you're looking probably around 35 for that car. They get quite tired when they get to 8 years old. You see the wear and tear really starts to kick in. So it's good to be getting out of this car now, for sure. But 35, really, maybe you can try 40 and see how the market reacts.
Okay, can I ask the Pajero question? Is that right? We always get a Pajero question. There are a number of questions today, but here's Bronwyn. Hi there, she says, I'm thinking of selling my 2006 three-door Pajero, 3.8, 144,000 kilometres on the clock, female expat driver, no desert driving. What do you reckon I could get for that? They sell Pajeros, don't they?
So there's two elements to focus on here. It's the fact that it's a 3.8, which is the top of the range one, the 3.8 GLS. And also the fact that it's the free door. Now, if you've got around 15K to 20K, these are the kind of cars you can pick up. They're reliable, they're safe, you can zip around Dubai. And if there's only two of you or you're not needing to carry the family around, it's ideal. But you're going to sell that car for 15 to 20 simply because there's so many people that will want that car. These are such a great car to buy because they hold their value so well.
Okay, this comes from Sally. Sally says, what could I expect for a 2004 Escalade? I just love to drive it. It's a true workhorse, but I wonder, is there any market value in the car?
Well, we have to be honest, a 2004 Escalade now, you're buying problems. We know you're buying problems at any kilometre level. It's a 14-year-old car. I know that you will have problems with that car now, for sure. And you get into the realms of, you know, how it will be more expensive to run that car annually than what you'll buy it for today. I mean, I personally wouldn't recommend buying that car for any more than that same Pajero we just talked about, 15 to 20.
When you say problems, what kind of problems would you expect there?
Major leaks from the engine,
right,
and gearbox, suspension issues, AC issues.
Okay.
Shami's got a question for you, Matthew. It says, with dealers paying the 20% down payment on new cars, how has this impacted the used car valuations?
So, to make it clear, the law in the UAE is whenever you take car finance, you have to put down 20% So the bank are only allowed to actually finance 80%. So the dealer is just helping you keep a bit more cash in your pocket, but you're paying a higher monthly payment to factor that in. You know, if you take 200,000, that would be a 40,000 down payment and X amount over 4 or 5 years. Well, if you're taking a loan then of 200,000. So they are and they aren't putting the 20% down. I mean, it's just a very good marketing tool. We're seeing VAT has massively impacted the new car market. And the pre-owned market is very buoyant at the moment. It's very, very buyant.
That's interesting. I mean, the VAT conversation is a conversation to have at another point, actually, to see just how much that's had an impact on new cars. The other side to that, of course, is we're seeing a real surge in interest in the used car market, which is something I think that people have expected for some time, haven't they?
We know that quite a few years ago, the oil price fell. And that affected things here. And the new cars now have had a hard time for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So if you think about it now, there's going to start to become a shortage of inventory in 2, 3, 4 year old cars. So when you go onto the pre-owned market, we were talking about this in detail recently. Watch the prices of pre-owned cars over the next year, because there's going to be shortages, particularly on the popular cars.
Wow. Okay. We're going to try and continue this and get through.
Don't text us again, please.
What we can.
I wish the listeners could see how many texts are coming in.
We might have to close the texts and just say anything we didn't get to this week, we'll get back to next Thursday. But we are going to see if Matthew can stay on just a little bit longer. There's a particularly interesting question that's just come in too. Matthew Davidson is, of course, the head of motor services at Dubizzle, and we are looking at your cars.
Cash or trash?
So we'll kick straight off with this one. Good afternoon, Timmy. See, it is catching. Yeah. And NLT. I'm planning to buy a new car. I'm confused between the Pajero and Edge 3.5 Titanium. I've cut off the Durango from the list as it's a 2x2. What do you guys think? Which one would you suggest? Is there anything else in that range, Matthew, that she should be thinking about?
They're the two best ones. Best resale value. The difference is clear that the Edge is only 5 seats, where the Pajero will give you that extra couple of seats. And the Edge has a couple more options in terms of you can go SEL, Sport. You've got a lot more different options for the Edge. And I would say that would feel a little bit more premium. But if you would benefit from the extra couple of seats, then go for the Pajero.
Can we go back to the Porsche thing for a minute? Is it Porsche or Porsche, by the way?
I say Porsche. You say Porsche.
Okay, so it's tomato. What about 2014 Porsche Panamera 3.6, 32,000 kilometres? This person also texts back and points out the warranty for the Porsche runs out this month, but then you can get an extra 10-year extension on that.
You can extend up to the 10th year with Porsche.
Okay.
So you'll be on a Panamera, you'll pay about 7,000 dirhams per year to extend it. Mm-hmm. Well worth it, by the way. You think one key component goes wrong on that car, especially of a car of that value. It doesn't say what type of Panamera it is.
It doesn't, no. 3.6 is all it says, 32,000 kilometres.
So it's a base Panamera. Sound like the bearer of bad news, but the since the new Panamera came out, the old ones, which were struggling anyway, have really, really tanked, and certainly people are out there with S's, GTS's, turbos, even a few turbo S's out there. And the problem is there's so much choice. Just go online and have a look at how many just 2014 Panameras are out there. Mm. And everybody thinks their car's going to be worth a lot more. But that Panamera, I'm sorry to say, may be around 90 to 100.
Okay. Jen texted in, my car is a Mitsubishi ASX, it's 2013, US origin, basic version, 78,000 kilometres, no accidents, just minor scratches.
Matthew's face when you said US origin.
I know.
Oh dear, we need cameras in here.
We haven't got time to go back onto that topic, but no. If you try and picture the ASX, it's a very small little like a Kia Rio, very small little, but it's reliable and it's good, but 2013 US import with those kind of kilometres, 10 to 12,000.
Okay, CK asks a question. It's not cash or trash, but I think it's one worth answering. What tricks are there in getting the best deal with a dealer when trading in your car for another?
Okay, never forget you're in control. You're going into a dealer that desperately, desperately wants your business. Whenever you take a trade in, it's actually, it doesn't look like it, but it's a headache for the dealer. They, in the background, unless it's a very, very new car that's part of their family, they will not resell that car. They'll trade it to another dealer. So they, whatever price they give you, if it seems good, they've already baked that value into the new car price. So sell it privately.
Mm.
Take that cash and go into the dealer and negotiate a much, much better deal and push for extras. Say you want that service contract or that longer service contract. If they're offering a 3-year warranty, go for the 5-year because they want your business. They really want your business, but don't go in weak. If you go in with a trade-in, you're actually a headache for them. So try and sell that car privately. You'll get much more money and you go in a much stronger position.
So push. How hard do you push? Because I always think, I can be a little bit reticent and think, I can't be bothered with the bargaining.
A good salesman smells weakness. So when you go in, if they sense, if your family's there and you're all dancing around the car, they know they've got you.
Yeah.
You've got to go in and say, look, I like this car, but I have other options in the market. And be prepared to walk. You'd be surprised how many people will stop you at the front door.
Right.
But be prepared to push them. You kind of sense when you've squeezed them as much as you can. But look, there's lots of deals out there. The Ramadan deals this year are really fantastic. All the dealerships are pushing out all the stops. So certainly do a bit of homework before, shop around, and tell them what other dealerships are doing on other makes and models.
Okay. I've got a few here, actually. Can I chuck this at you? I have a feeling this is going to be good. Land Cruiser V8, 104,000, 2014 model, 3-year-old car, lady-driven. I'd say this is going to be worth some money.
2014?
104,000 kilometres. Quite high.
Yeah, it doesn't say if it's GLX.
It doesn't, no. It just says V8.
We're going to have to just guess that on terms of we'll go in the middle. But 2014 should still have the warranty. They come with a 5-year warranty.
Mm-hmm.
So we're guessing it has that, and we're certainly guessing that it's agency maintained.
Right.
But I think you would still be getting around 125, 130.
Okay. You see, lots of these, people like their trucks. 2018 Ford Raptor, base model, popular. Looks good. 2,000 kilometres on the clock, service contract and warranty. So you've driven it off, it's lost a bit of money, but what's it worth?
Well, here we go, because this is virtually impossible to price unless I get this information, so you may need to quickly retext back in, because
right.
the Raptor changed its engine. It moved to a smaller turbocharged engine, whereas before it was the big 6.2-litre V8 naturally aspirated. So the delta is going to be huge. So can you quickly text in and say if it's the brand-new Raptor, the turbocharged Raptor or not, please?
Okay, let us know. Text us back. No name on that one, unfortunately. NLT, what have you got?
Mona is thinking of selling her BMW 630i, 2009, 100,000 kilometres, extended service contract. What is it worth?
Wow, somebody really is looking after that car then, because an extended, paying for agency servicing on a 2009 630, that's massively attractive. And what's the kilometres? Sorry,
100,000.
The screen is moving so fast.
100,000 kilometres.
Yeah, the saving grace there is the fact that it must have full AGMC service history and a service contract as well. Those cars outside of that are really being hit on values. You'd be probably looking at around 45,000-50,000.
Okay. Here's a little bit of variety for you. Can I just ask you this very quickly? Shabin says, what value can I get? Two cars, my Nissan E2006 and my Volvo S8. They've both done around 218,000 kilometres. There's a bit of a difference in the vehicles there.
Difference in vehicles, but in terms of, the Sunny is not going to be, unfortunately, worth like massive money. I would say 8,000 to 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which Volvo was it?
S60, 2008's the year.
Okay, that's going to be around 14,000-15,000.
I don't know how you do it, Matthew. We
it's
put
crazy,
you on
like
a spot, and it's every time.
So I have to quickly think back at the last time we sold one of these cars. And then I just picture selling it. But that's how I do it. Basically,
your brain's filing cabinet must be massive.
I have to tell the listeners that I'm fried today. This screen is just whirling away in so many cars in my head right now. But it's so fantastic to see how Dubai is reacting here and how much interest there is in this cash and or trash segment.
I'm just going to mention Bharat's text finally. Why do people use Lady Driven as a selling point? Wonder how it matters. Now, we kind of talked about this a bit earlier.
It doesn't. You know, when people write that they try and say that it's Lady Driven or it's expat owned, so, you know, we're great. It doesn't make a difference. What you need to do, people are buying the car. They want the key factors for the car. I'd rather use that little bit of real estate to write, I've got a warranty, I've got service, I've had no accidents. Take all this Lady Driven out of the equation and replace it with something that's much more tangible that will interest people. Because I've seen some amazing cars driven by ladies and some terrible cars driven by ladies and vice versa for male as well. It doesn't make a difference. So just please use that real estate for more important information regarding the car.
Okay. Adult says the same thing. Why do people continue to use these terms? It's ridiculous. That's all we've got time for an extended cash or trash and how to sell your car on Drive Live Talks Automotive. Huge thanks to our guest today. Matthew Davidson is the head of motor services at Dubizzle. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you
so much. You go and have a nice lie down.
I must
now
tell everyone, please drive safe on the roads during Ramadan. Please, every year I say this, and please watch what you're doing. Drive safely.
Okay. Thank you so much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.